Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. After the half hour, we'll be taking calls. 646-716-9663. Today I'm very pleased to have Adam A. Neal with me. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you. It's so much such a pleasure to get to be here with you, Star. Thank you.
Adam, can you tell our listening audience a little bit or a lot about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Adam A. Neal, and I'm currently the associate editor for Psychology Tomorrow magazine, which is an online free publication that discusses the intersection between psychology, therapeutic practice, and the visual arts. I also have my own blog called Paranormalite.com, in which I talk about different approaches to understanding what is considered paranormal experience, but I actually just call it normal. I use the word paranormalite as a way to reclaim the word because I don't believe that anything really is paranormal. I think that things are just normal and it's a question of perception. So I write about topics related to perceiving psychic information, which also piggybacks on spirituality and therapeutic practice. So with my work for the magazine and also on my blog, I've been in contact with all kinds of different practitioners of different forms of therapy, everything from very conventional therapy like CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy, which is more mainstream, to spiritual counseling, mediums, clairvoyance, and people who practice different forms of healing, like Reiki, people who are NLP or neuro-linguistic programming practitioners, and all different types of healers that I've involved myself with and learned from. So my main interest really is in talking about the practical side of having experiences which people can explain. So my real goal with my writing and with any speaking that I've done is to really promote awareness of the idea of spiritual practice, not just for in terms of things that are considered new age, but also for people to be able to integrate these things into their daily lives and not have to consider it either Hollywood entertainment or too scary or too weird to discuss.
Well, that must mean somewhere hidden or not so hidden in you that there are some abilities that you have that might be parallel normal, or as you call it, but you might have some things in yourself. What kind of abilities have snuck up out of you?
Yes. So like a lot of people who end up getting interested in the fields of, you know, parapsychology or transpersonal counseling or spirituality in general, yes, I've had several of my own experiences, which kind of led me to want to study more. I didn't really recognize any abilities that I had from a very young age. A lot of people who get interested in psychic phenomena and this kind of practice, a lot of those people tend to have started very young. They remember, you know, some of their earliest memories are talking to, you know, deceased relatives who they shouldn't have known, having dreams about, you know, people who are part of their families who they couldn't have met, or having those kind of experiences. My first strong experience actually happened about 9 years ago when I was studying theater in London. I had an experience where I felt I was visited by relatives of mine who I was close with, who had passed away. And it was a different kind of experience than I'd ever had. I literally felt, it happened late at night, I was kind of very exhausted that day and I was trying to doze off to sleep, but instead I kept feeling my mind wandering to different memories that I had of my relatives, and all of a sudden I had a very strong experience of feeling almost possessed, like their energy was so strong that it was on top of me. It was a very... it was, I would say, not a frightening experience, but a very strong experience. And emotionally, it felt as strong as when you go to the funeral of someone that you love. The energy felt that strong, and I wasn't sure what to make of it. So I called home right afterwards and spoke with my mother, and she was back in New York, where I'm from. And she explained to me that, or I explained to her actually what had just happened and this experience that I had. And she said, "That's interesting. Actually, when did it happen?" And I said, "Oh, maybe 15 minutes ago. Is everything all right?" And she said, "Well, yeah, but that actually is exactly when I was saying the prayer over the candles. Now, we're Jewish. It was a Friday night, which is Sabbath for us, or Shabbos. And she was praying over the candles, and she specifically asked all of our relatives and those we loved who had passed on to watch out for me because it was my first time overseas. And so not only did I have this experience, but then it was corroborated by my mother. And then after this happened, it spurred further interest for me in studying these kind of experiences. So since then, I have recognized that I have abilities of clairvoyance, where I'm able to perceive images, strong, vivid images of things, of concrete things that I can relay to people. And I wouldn't say that I am a medium in that I don't feel constantly surrounded or fully aware of people who have passed away, of others. I've had some experiences where it's related to me, people that I knew who passed away. But yeah, as far as those kind of abilities, yes, I feel the clairvoyance pretty strongly. And also what I've come to learn is called in community as claircognizance, which is a clear sense of knowing. People call it a knowing beyond knowing, where you are aware of something cognitively and in a definitive way that feels almost, divinely expressed. You know, you're receiving information very directly, and it feels so intense that it's unquestionable. So I've had that experience too. Through my interest in this, you know, this type of experience, I've also gotten involved with a couple of different psychic mediums. I studied with one medium for a little while who is fairly well known. His name is Thomas John, and he has been on several television shows and radio programs. And for a while, I would call it training with him, but really it was just that he was giving me some validation of my own abilities with regard to clairvoyance and claircognizance, and here and there some clairaudience, which is the ability to, you know, to in your mind hear sounds and things. So I've learned a lot about the different psychic arts as they are expressed in those circles.
And you must have had some pretty strange, wonderful, hilarious experiences happen in your training. Can you give us something that was really interesting?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I when I started going to see Thomas, it was not long after my stepfather had actually called the radio show that Thomas was had a guest appearance on, and Thomas was able to relate information to my stepfather about his mother and his brother, both of whom passed away within less than a year of each other that year, And so that was how I learned about Thomas, and also got very interested in the abilities that he possessed. I had never really heard about someone having such strong evidential or being able to provide strong evidential information. So that was one of the things that I was looking for when I went to practice with him. I think practice is even a better word than train, because I like a psychic ability or intuitive ability to artistic ability. I think that everyone has their own way of approaching it, and so everyone will have their own way to train for it. One of the exercises that I did with him was that he would give me a picture, a photo of somebody who I didn't know, who he had, you know, obviously some knowledge of, and he would ask me to meditate to them and to write down any impressions that I got about them, which I did mostly through clairvoyance because that's the sense that I feel the strongest. So he gave me the photo for one particular woman, and when I meditated to the photo, one of the things that came across to me was I saw very clearly a scar on the left side of her body, I would say the left side of her abdomen, and I saw the shape of it, and I wrote down, on my pad or my, I think maybe I emailed it to him, so I wrote that down as one of a few impressions that I got. And when I went to my next appointment with him, he read this impression, and he said, you are absolutely right, and not only does she have a scar there, this past week, the bruise that she had or the wound that she had there actually ruptured, and so there was activity going on there over the past week in that part of her body. So he's like, he was impressed that I was able to pick up on that, and it actually scared me. Some people would think that you'd be, I'm very excited, I have superpowers or something like that, but actually, more than anything else, it scared me. And I think that that's a very common experience. I've done tarot reading for several years too, and the thing that people tend to express to me the most is fear. People are very afraid. They don't necessarily not believe or not think that it's valid that these types of exchanges can exist, but more than anything, people are just afraid of acknowledging them for fear of what it could mean. And obviously there's a lot of ramifications of believing these types of things or giving validity to them. So being able to have that perception, which falls kind of under the category of medical intuition, people call it, that was exciting to me and scary, but after I got over the fear that I was able to perceive that, I got more excited because my feeling was, well, if I had the potential to see something like that, then it's possible that I would have the potential to see other things that could be potentially helpful to people. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's supposed to be about, is helping others.
Yeah, Adam and Adam A. Neal at paranormallight.com.
Yes.
And also at Psychology Tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, so it's Psychology Tomorrow Magazine, all three words, .com. And on the website there, it's a free online magazine that's at we call it the intersection of art and psychology. So the articles are written by therapists, physicians, and all types of visual artists, and they discuss different aspects of psychological practice.
Well, it must have been very, very empowering for you to get confirmation on your reading, because sometimes, we think about things, we receive things in the divine in our brain, and then our brain is like a prism. Whatever we get from the divine, it may split it up into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 colors. And sometimes what we say is not necessarily what the message is. And for me, being psychic, I'm 76, practicing for 55 years or so, for me, that moment of caution is when I get the message from the divine, is in taking a breath and making sure that I don't put star all over it, that it's exactly what the message is supposed to be for the person. So that's always been a big thingy with me.
Yes, yes. No, that makes total sense. I remember one woman who I spoke to, whose name is Litany Burns, who is she's also a psychic medium, and she's been in practice for, I think, over 30 years. She said that being able to, or practicing your abilities, when you recognize that you have a certain level of ability, it's more about tuning into what it is that you're receiving. And I think just like you were saying, the tendency is to be either overwhelmed with so much information at once that you don't quite know how to frame it properly, or it's you know, the layers are mixing or the colors are mixing within the prism, which is a great, I think, such a great analogy. And she said it's almost like when you open up a phone book, or, you know, what used to be a phone book, now it's online, but, you know, the equivalent of opening up a phone book, or even taking out your phone and calling a number and knowing the number that you're calling, but not know who it is at the other end. So, I mean, that was the way that she described it. And I think that it's so important to find people who can validate your experiences. And if you're lucky enough to find people who, you know, have the abilities themselves, then it's even better, because then they can give you feedback on the similarities that you might have in the way that you perceive information and the way that they perceive information.
That's important. Yeah. When we look at NLP, there's the feelers and then the visionaries and then the auditories. And I take my students to the mall, and we do what is lab. And every person that walks by gets a number, and then we write stuff in it. And I kind of think the training is like this. You know, when they go in the military, they hold up a ship in the Navy, and they hold it up for 4 seconds, and they say, what kind, is this a Russian ship? Is this a, what kind of ship is it? And then they start holding or showing that picture down to like an eighth of a second, and that the people can recognize a ship if they see it for just like an eighth of a second. And doing lab and taking several students to the mall or to the circus or someplace where we can observe people, then we get back and we talk about it. And we say, well, why aren't you ever seeing the broken hip or the liver? Why are you always seeing the relationships? And maybe this may be a specialty area that you want to go into. And, you know, the people hear voices telling them stuff. Some of my feelers feel, you know, different energies. So being a visionary, it was really interesting for me to train, and everybody had the power. All I could do was refine it, to train them in the kinesthetic and the auditory people, because that wasn't my strength. So that was very interesting lessons for me. And everybody won't see, everybody won't hear or feel, and sometimes I have what I call knowers.
Mm-hmm.
And they know, and you ask them, how do you know that? And they go, I just know it. And that's all
right.
You ever get. So that's interesting in that. So, Adam,
yes.
What else have you found in researching all these different peoples and these energy psychologists and psychics and practitioners? What else have you found that's interesting?
Oh, have I found? I think overall I've found just that, you know, like you were saying, people tend to have particular abilities and particular interests, and the way that they choose to practice therapy tends to really coincide with their own personal experiences. You know, people who I've spoken with who are particularly interested in grief counseling or thanatology, you know, tend to be people who've experienced a lot of death in their lives, and they're looking for a way to use that experience and help other people. It's kind of like people who practice as substance abuse counselors a lot of times have been, you know, have been addicts themselves. So, you know, in my experience, having having had this kind of experience of spiritual energy, you know, coming to me and having other things that I couldn't explain, it's prompted me to want to provide that kind of validation for other people so that, you know, when I am at, let's, for example, say at an event and I'm doing tarot reading or reading people, that they can say, you know, you actually believe in this stuff? And I'll say, well, I don't even say I believe in it. I say I don't need to believe in it because I've experienced it myself. And that then opens the conversation for them to say, oh, well, ordinarily I wouldn't tell anybody this, but I've had this experience and that experience. And I think that's when it all kind of comes out. I think that different practitioners offer different types of validation. Validation is really my favorite word when it comes to experience, because there's nothing more healing, I think, than feeling validated, than knowing that someone understands your experience, even if they can't go through it the same way that you went through it. The fact that they can validate it for you, I think, is so powerful. And so, you know, the difference between somebody who practices as an art therapist, for example, versus somebody who practices Reiki, you know, a potential client who enjoys painting or ceramics or photography would much rather go and see an art therapist to delve into themselves than they might want to go see somebody who practices Reiki. I think somebody who is interested in dance would be more interested in seeing a dance therapist who could validate their experiences in a more direct way. So I guess that's what I found more than anything else, as far as people's abilities informing the way that they practice. I think that most conventional therapists, social workers, psychotherapists of all types that practice in the mainstream without a spiritual component, I think all of them really do have very strong psychic abilities and connecting abilities or intuitive abilities, whatever you'd like to, whatever the semantics are. And really that they're just, without necessarily being intentional about it, they're focusing those abilities through their work. So I just think that it's fascinating to explore the idea of these kind of psychic experiences, or what people call paranormal experiences, through the lens of therapeutic practice. People who enjoy watching reality shows, reality television shows like Long Island Medium, the show Crossing Over with John Edward that used to be on, and other shows that demonstrate the practice of these kind of abilities, they don't usually carry with them a therapeutic element. They sometimes carry a cathartic element. People see that the clients of these people on the shows are getting a strong sense of validation, but it's always more emotionally sensationalized, and that's the nature of the way that the entertainment industry, of course, works. They're tapping into that.
And one of the things I find is that the people behave differently alone, and I'm going to call them readings on the fly. I might be someplace, and I might be introduced, as you know, an intuitive or spiritual teacher, and then I go in the bathroom, and then three people follow me in the bathroom because they have questions, but they don't want to ask in front of the other people.
Yes,
or
yes.
I run into somebody in a shopping mall that was, you know, in a group or family group, you know, 6 weeks ago, and then they pull me aside and they want to ask for themselves and they want that privacy. They somehow feel asking an intuitive or someone like me in front of a bunch of people does something inappropriate to them. And,
yes,
and I've had so many people come into so many strange places to ask me questions because they didn't want to ask in front of the group. I find that really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it brings up such an interesting point about the way in which psychic practitioners, intuitive counselors, and people are represented in our media, I think that what ends up happening is that people who do genuinely have gifts, have abilities, end up, you know, because they're interested in, you know, in being compensated well, they're interested in, they're interested, of course, in promoting the fact that their abilities are valid, which I think is a good thing. I think what ends up happening is that it feeds into our very exploitive culture. And then these people are suddenly in front of a studio audience of, let's say, 300 people, and they're being made to do, you know, readings on national television in front of these audiences. And then, you know, go figure that their readings are suddenly not as on point or more cloudy than when they were reading for one person at their home or, you know, their place of business. You know, it doesn't surprise me that
no,
it happens this way.
Standing in 300 other people's auras and trying to get a reading is not conducive to a clear reading. And
right.
Sometimes I've been in front of groups with you know, 200, 300, 1,000 people. And what works better for me is, no matter who I'm with, the healings work better for me. To stand up there and read somebody with, you know, 20 people, strong senders in the audience, sending different questions doesn't work. But actually my hands-on seems to be amplified when there's a group. And that works very well for me. But getting up there and reading somebody when 20 people are going, oh, my God, I just lost my mate. I'll never find a mate. And someone is standing from in front of you, and you have that whole audience or those people thinking that thought, you have to be really careful not to pick up what the majority of the audience is thinking.
Right.
You know, so that's always been interesting to watch how the group thoughts can lead, especially in a, like a weekend, a spiritual weekend, how the group issue comes up very soon, that most people have this issue and it comes to the surface.
Yeah, I guess it also makes sense that people would be more open to receiving healing because it's not something that's on the physical plane the same way as getting concrete information, wanting to give somebody concrete information so that they can learn more, you know, to give an intuitive a couple of details because you want to find out something, some information. I think that carries with it more of the ego. And when we're dealing with, you know, with spiritual healing, I think that people can amplify it for each other, and that it is a bit more of a higher experience. But people don't want to hear that. They want to get validation in more physical, concrete ways that a lot of times aren't even necessarily possible. But that's what people look for, and that's what I think has caused so much trouble, you know, when people try to a certain way.
Right. Those tests never work. And then people come to me, and they come to me with a pig question. And a pig question is personal instant gratification.
Oh, yes.
Like they show me a picture of their neighbor, and they say, tell me about my neighbor. And I'm like, I don't do pig stuff. And they go, what is pig stuff? And I explain it's personal instant gratification. I want to talk about you. I want to work with you right here, right now, with your energies. I don't want to I'll talk about your children. I'll talk about your dog for a few minutes. But I want to be with you and work with you. And I want to tell you my pet peeve is when somebody says, I'm 99.9% correct. I don't want to be 99.9% correct. I want to give you enough information so that whatever I see negative coming down the road, you don't let it happen. And whatever positive is coming down the road, that you amplify that. I don't want to be 99.9% correct because then I didn't do my job. My job is to give you information, confirm that, get you repeat the information back to me, to talk around an event like, you know, be careful. A blue car is going to smash into you in a crossroad. And then they'll talk about what they do when they're driving, and et cetera. And they call me back and go, oh, my God, Star, I was a quarter inch away, and I wasn't going to look through the intersection, but I remembered a reading, and boom, there goes this blue car that went through the light, you know? You know, and
right.
So that whole idea of a psychic being 99.9% accurate just drives me nuts, because then you're not doing your job. You're not preventing them from being in those negative situations. And if somebody's going to win something or get something, is there a way they can amplify that, to make it bigger? Can they make it gentler? Can they make it juicier? You know what I mean? I need to give that out information. Hold on. We're coming at our half-hour break here.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
I'm here with Adam A. Neal, and I'm pleased to be here. Our phone number is 646-716-9663. And give us a call, and we'll answer some of your questions. So we were talking about some of my pet peeves in
yes.
in the industry. Do you have any?
I think that my pet peeves are, I mean, we were starting to talk about it when I was mentioning, you know, the way that people view reality TV. And really, I mean, my strongest pet peeve is people using or thinking that the point of psychic information is to really, you know, separate oneself from the crowd as a superhero or a master as far as their abilities. And I think that all of the interest that that people tend to have in this type of practice, well, I would say that the majority of people who engage with this stuff through Hollywood and through the media, you know, they're really looking at it from an ego standpoint. Somebody has an ability, and the point is to use it to further yourself. And so my overall pet peeve is the people who watch haunted house stories and decide that they're going to go on paranormal investigations with all of this expensive equipment to try to really, I think, take advantage of someone else's suffering and other people's experiences. It really bothers me. And a lot of times when I tell people that my website is called paranormalite.com, they'll say, you know, oh, you believe in that paranormal stuff. Well, I love ghosts, or I've gone ghost hunting, or I do ghost tours. And I think that, you know, it's not to say that those energies don't exist, but I think it's about the way that you approach it. And I think a lot of the time the focus is on going and learning about, you know, people's ghosts and ghost stories that have absolutely nothing to do with you, your family, and your loved ones. And I tell people I actually really don't agree with going and doing paranormal investigations for your own, you know, edification, your own benefit, because you want to prove that ghosts exist in that house or that, you know, property. I think that I can get on board more with people who do those kind of investigations for people who are in crisis, who call them in and say, you know, listen, I've had these experiences, or my family and I have had these experiences. We don't know what to make of it. You know, can you come in and give us some validation that we're not all, you know, crazy? And at least in those cases, I feel like there's an overall intention of healing and validation, and not an overall intention of, oh, I'm going to get some good ghost voices on my electronic recorder.
Yeah. You know, the purpose of going into a house or going to a place where spirit is to send it into the light. And more of these shows, they come on there and the spirit touches them, and all you see them is running, you know. And they have none of the tools of the old-fashioned exorcism, none of the tools of boogie busting to send that entity into the light. And they go in there and they talk to it and they boo 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 and they stir it up and they get something on camera. But the job is for that spirit to make people notice so that it gets put into the light. You know?
Right.
And they don't do that. They just go and stir it up.
Yeah, and sometimes
they come home with that spirit inside of them, and they become a condominium of spirits, you know? So it's really important that you do have some formal training. And every teacher I ever studied with that made me learn anything about being a psychic or about being a healer made me go into myself and know myself much more stronger than I personally had curiosity to before I could do this type of healing, before I could do this other type of work. My teachers made me know myself.
Right, right. And I think it also keys into why people are watching these things to begin with. And, you know, most of the time people are watching these shows on TV or watching movies with this kind of content because they're looking for an escape. They're looking for something that's a fantasy, something that is, you know, titillating and exciting. But, you know, but the way that things are portrayed, it has really nothing to do with healing at all. It's pretty much the opposite.
Absolutely. And people want to get scared because they won't feel anymore. You know, people who go to those horrible picture shows, whenever I've stood outside, been in line for something else, I notice how much armor, emotional armor they wear, and the only way they can feel is by being so scared. And that is not a healing place to be. That confirms that you need more armor.
right.
More
exactly.
open-hearted. So I found that you're really, really wise in reading your blogs and your all your stuff on your paranormallight.com. I have not got to the psychology tomorrow yet. I find that you stand in the middle of the road. You say that you stand in the middle of the road, and you have some very unique observations, which impress me, and I don't get impressed very easily.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet of you to say. I think, ultimately, I come from a standpoint of almost a walking paradox a lot of the time, because on the one hand, you know, when I, you know, engage with people in my day-to-day, you know, people think of me as being particularly, you know, down-to-earth and practical. And on the other hand, when they've spent a little longer talking to me, I'll explain to them all of these other, all the things that I'm really most interested in. And all of a sudden, it's, you know, people get very surprised and they say, oh, I would never have taken you to be somebody who would be interested in that sort of thing because you seem so practical. And so my whole purpose in writing the articles that I write and engaging with this type of information the way that I do is to try to get across to people that it's not that being interested in spirituality and psychic experience, intuitive experience, and being practical and logically minded, they're not mutually exclusive, and in fact they work much better when they're combined. And I think that there are benefits to be gotten from both. You know, conventional therapy, for example, and from a psychic or an intuitive or a healer. And so I feel like it's important to, at least for me, it's been important to stand in the middle of the road and to be able to present both sides of the coin equally. I've met people who dwell too much on the exciting elements and the, you know, there's a vortex in my hallway and I like to spend my weekends ghost busting or whatever they call it. And then there's the people who are, you know, completely closed-minded and say that they don't feel that those things could ever exist and will never exist. And so I think it's so important to be open-minded. And I think open-minded really means exploring both sides.
Having done this for decades and decades, I have many experience where I'll tell somebody, be careful, your knee's hurting, there's something really wrong with your knee, and they'll say, oh, Star, ha ha, you're so silly, there's nothing wrong with my knee. And 4 days later, they'll trip, they'll fall, where I preview, you know, what is going on with them. And many time I've sat with people and I say, you need to go get a full medical right now. And they're like, well, nothing's wrong with it. And they go. And we find something. They find something. You know, so it's important. If you have a question in your head that you think you want to ask to somebody who has any of the intuitive powers, it's important that you ask it, go and do it, because something in your subconscious, something in your angels or spirit guides, something is driving you to learn something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And usually they don't want you to learn what you're going to eat for the next meal or what color dress to wear to the ball. They want you to learn something that makes a difference in your life or that will change your life or really drastically change your life. So pay attention when that voice says, I should ask somebody, I wish you knew a psychic, or I wish you knew a medical intuitive. That voice is very, very important.
Yes, I think I definitely agree. I was going to say, I think it's definitely, it's something to be aware of that, most of the time when people want to talk to a psychic or talk to a healer, it's usually because they're afraid of something. And a lot of my experiences, when I've done, you know, readings at events, because sometimes I've done that, or I just present myself, I quote unquote, come out to people as being psychic or having some level of ability. And the first thing that people tend to say is, especially when they've never had a reading of any kind, they'll say, don't tell me I'm going to die. and that's really, I mean, people, the first thing that comes up, and I think it's very fascinating, the first thing that comes up, you know, as a topic with regard to intuitive information is mortality. People automatically assume that because you have a level of intuitive ability that you're going to be able to tell them when they're going to die or when someone in their family is going to die. And it's a pretty big focus. And I always like to tell people, you know, that the idea of providing somebody with intuitive information is not so that they can, get a nice trip to Europe before they get into a horrible accident. The point is that you're going to be providing that information to give them a window into their possibilities. That's why I loved when you were talking before about, giving somebody information about possibly getting into a car accident and then that being the impetus for them to look, to give an extra look and be extra observant while they were driving, extra cognizant of what was going on around them, and that would end up ultimately keeping them from having an accident. And I think that's really the key. I mean, that's really the way I feel about it, is that if you can give somebody the tools to be more cognizant themselves, then you've really done your job as an intuitive.
And also there's this other little sharp razor blade edge, and somebody comes to me and says, Star, I need to lose 100 pounds. What do I need to do? And I say, you need to work on your sexual abuse issues.
Yes,
or they come
yes.
to me with wanting to meet a mate, but they still haven't forgiven their husband for running off with the secretary, and it's been 10 years. And people come to me and say, Star, this is what I want. This is, when is this going to happen? and something bops out of my mouth, usually not as gracefully as possible, but what I have to work on to get that, or that isn't the main issue sometimes. It's just the candy coating on the M&M.
Right.
You know, it's really important to me to be real. I don't want to be one of these people who are nice. I can be kind. And then people go from psychic to psychic waiting to get the answers they want to hear. You know, it's
yes.
like somebody doing a tarot reading 16 times over till they get the results they want to hear. And what I teach my students is it's none of your business what other people think of you. Do your job. They go, what do you mean it's none of my business? What if they don't come back? Then you haven't done your job.
Right.
And that for a lot of the readers and people with new powers or medical intuitives, this itself is a Grand Canyon. It's none of my business what other people think of me. You know?
Right, right.
And, of course, you have to be cordial and you have to, you know, be clean and dress well and, you know, whatever that may be. But for most people,
yes.
this is like a century. Yeah, what do you mean by that? And they go home and they think about it and ask me questions about it for 6 months. And it's a very important piece of your training. You cannot want your client to like you, and you cannot tell your client what they want to hear. Especially if it is not true.
Right, right. I think a lot of times people who decide to visit a psychic or an intuitive, they go in with really not a clear, with their intentions pretty unclear. They want to see a psychic because they, like you're saying, you know, they want to have a certain answer. You know, they decide that, you know, they're unhappy in their romantic life. So they decide that they are going to go to a psychic so that they can get an answer on, yes, you know, the man of your dreams is coming next week. You know, be on the lookout. He'll be wearing this, you know. And people, they go in, you know, already having decided what it is that they need to learn about. And so there's such a difference between, you know, going to see really a healer, any kind of intuitive, you know, is a healer, going to see a healer and telling them the way that they're going to heal you. And I think that has
right.
so much less to do with healing. And people who go for that reason aren't looking to heal. It's like people who go to a therapist, a psychotherapist, and they'll go back for years and they won't accomplish anything. And I think that usually the reason is, well, it can be a couple of things. Either the therapist can be, egging them on and keeping them coming back and letting the clock run out on every session. I think that's possible on the one hand. But on the other hand, I think a lot of people really, they don't want to be healed because they don't want to do the work necessary. They don't want to hear what they need to hear. And they'll distract themselves and tell themselves that they're paying a fee. So they'll delude themselves into thinking that because they're paying for a service that something is happening. But if you're not willing to tackle those issues and you're not willing to hear the things that will ultimately help you, then you're not going to get that healing.
Yeah, they don't reveal themselves. And something that two things that people have said to me a lot is, who have you been talking to? And don't look at my secrets. And the minute they say, don't look at my secrets, you know that they actually flash all their secrets.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, and it's like, I've had people who hung around my friends for 10 years and didn't want to meet me because they thought first thing I'm going to do is look in their secrets. I'm sorry, I do this for a living. I'm not going to go out to lunch and look into anybody. I'm going to be having lunch. I'm going to be talking. You know what I mean? And the other one is like, when I say something that no one could possibly know, they go, who have you been talking to? And I think, okay, let's see, I've been in the city 2 days. I've been on the road 250 days this year. You made the appointment yesterday. I don't know who I've been talking to, God, you know? But that's always a funny one for me. And where can we find out more about you, Adam?
Well, I work as the, as I've been talking about, as the associate editor of Psychology Tomorrow magazine. So that's psychologytomorrowmagazine.com, all three words. And so there's plenty of information there, and I've done, I've written several articles, and I also edit all of the content there. So there's a lot about, a lot of my thoughts there, and a lot of my work is there too. And I correspond with our contributors who come from all over the world. We represent, practitioners of several types, conventional therapists, physicians, so medical doctors, and all kinds of visual artists, because our feeling is that therapeutic practice itself is an art form. So there's a lot of my work there, and also at paranormalite.com. So the word paranormal, YTE.com, is my personal blog, where I share articles that explore all different types of all different sides of what's considered paranormal experience. So I've talked about things like what it's like to have a traumatic head injury and then develop this syndrome called acquired savant syndrome, where people have a horrible head injury or accident, and then they come out of it and they're suddenly able to write a symphony or paint a gorgeous mural when they've never had those abilities before. I talk about things like near-death experience and psychometry, being able to read energy off of physical objects. That's actually my latest article. So there's a lot of information there on both of those websites. And I'm always more than happy to hear from people. My email address is paranormalite, so the word paranormal, YTE, at gmail.com. And I love hearing from people. And so I hope that some of our listeners tonight will be able to reach out to me or feel comfortable reaching out to me, especially those people who might have had an experience going to a therapist that might not have gone the way that they wanted to, and they need some further insight. I'm always especially sensitive to those people who have had negative experiences going to therapists or practitioners. Very often I'll hear from people who've gone to see people claiming to be intuitive healers and psychics, and you know, they'll say that that they felt that they were scammed, that there was actually no helpful information, no evidential information given to them, and they are very, very discouraged, and they decide that they can't possibly exist because there was there were bad people out there. Or on the flip side, people who've gone to see a conventional therapist and felt that they were invalidated in their session. They were somehow given the impression that their feelings were wrong, or that they were wrong to seek therapy for some reason, or were made to feel ashamed. So these are the type of things that I'm the most interested in discussing with people.
That sounds very helpful. And I see that you see both the positive and both the negative sides. Sean, do we have a caller there? I forgot to ask.
I had a question, actually.
Go ahead.
You have, it's for both of you, essentially, but Adam, you have a post on your website, paranormalite.com, objectifying ourselves, which is a very interesting article, kind of beginning with the cliched sort of question about what one would bring to a desert island, and then you go into our relationship with objects, and you touch on psychometry and things. I really thought it was an interesting look into that topic. I was wondering how you think that would, what sort of implications that could have toward materialism, if we have more of an understanding about our energetic sort of interactions with objects, what practicality we could get in terms of materialism or material greed, something like that.
Well, I think that talking about it in terms of materialism, or really, I mean, it almost sounds like the other word would be consumerism. I think that it gets into an interesting, interesting debate there, because when people are acquiring items that are very expensive or to show off to people, that to me is an extension of the ego and has ultimately less to do with them, less to do with their energy than the items that they haven't bought for that purpose, so they haven't consumed for that purpose. So and that's actually my most recent article. When I was writing it, I actually was trying to put the focus on those items that we don't necessarily think about, but that are actually much more a part of our energy than we'll realize. So somebody who has spent years and years saving up for that car or that house, so that they can display their wealth and their success and feed their egos. Those items won't necessarily be carrying their spiritual energy the way that they think because of their intention. When your intention is to brush your teeth, your intention is clear, and it's a positive. And when your intention is to show off to your peers or your colleagues, it's not a clear intention. It's a self-serving intention. And so I think that when I was writing it, the point was to give people a different perspective on their use of material objects, and how the focus shouldn't be on a certain expenditure, but should instead be on the items that we end up using all the time that we don't give much thought to.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. People, get on Facebook and like Adam and participate with him, Adam A. Neal. And thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.
Thanks so much for being on the show, Adam. It was really great to have your perspective on the program, and awesome for you to share some of the experiences you've had and your background and things like that. So thanks for being on. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure. You were so great to work with, and I don't know if Star is still there, but it was so wonderful getting to talk to her, and I love how down-to-earth everybody is, and people always think the opposite of us, you know, of the people who are fascinated by these things. Everyone thinks we're all weirdos who go around talking about, you know, ghosts and goblins or whatever. It's always the opposite. We're more grounded than most people. So, it was a total pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity, really.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for being on, and I hope you have a wonderful evening, and stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only question I had for you, so the link that I had, is it going to stay valid, or does it expire at a certain point?
No, it will. It will stay valid. About 24 hours after the end of the show, or about 24 hours from now, the window that streams the show live will stay there, but it will turn into streaming the MP3 recording. And you could, if someone goes there tomorrow or a week now, the page would look the same, but listen to the recording or download the MP3 file. So yeah, the link doesn't change.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Yeah, so if I were to download the file, let's say that I don't think this would happen necessarily, but if my magazine, like, let's say, wanted to post it or something, would I reach out to you guys for permission, or how does that work? Is it open, or how does that work?
No, I think that would be perfectly fine.
Okay.
I don't see any issue with that. So yeah, and you can download it from the website itself, or if you'd like, I can take the file and clip off the end if it begins a little bit before the show went live, or I think we ended a minute or so before it stopped recording. I could clip that off and give you a little bit of a nicer version. But yeah, no, that sounds perfectly fine. If as long as you know you let us know what it's used for, there's no issue with permissions or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, of course. And I'm sure you've gathered I'm pretty communicative. So if I were going to use it, I would certainly be letting you know in advance and everything. So.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Well, thanks again. And yeah, and have an awesome night. And yeah, let me know if there's anything else that I could ever do to help.
All right. Wonderful, Adam. Well, it was great talking with you.
Thanks. You too, Sean. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. Thanks. Okay. Bye.